Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. We hope you receive a blessing from this message given to us through Pastor Michael Foraker. Sermon number 8, 0, 5, 7.
Today we're going to talk about sanctuary symbols. And we're going to go in some different directions, so I hope you got your seatbelt buckled. Let's go to Exodus 36:8. Exodus 36:8, and then we're going to look at a verse that's very similar to that, Exodus 36:35. Same chapter. You won't have to move very far. Exodus 36:8. It says, then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, they made them. Now, friends, if you read the next verse here, verse 35, it is very similar to verse 8. It says he made a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It was worked with an artistic design of cherubim. Friends, Jesus gives us artistic gifts. He likes beauty. Amen? Did you know Jesus is attractive? Friends, I want to represent Jesus in an attractive way. How about you? And you know, the beauty of this covering was only surpassed by that which it symbolized. The blue represents obedience to God's eternal truth, woven with the scarlet of sacrifice, then a covering of purple. You know, first and foremost of these colors, friends, the deep meaning is found in the life and the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Blue for his loyalty, John 8:29, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do what? Always those things that please him. The scarlet of his sacrifice, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to what? Sanctify the people through what? His own blood. Friends, Jesus' blood has not lost its power. His royalty. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I was born into this world. For this I have come to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. My dear friends, this covering woven of royal colored thread must have been very beautiful. The different colors appearing according as the light shone on it. Have you ever seen one of these silk garments? And you turn it in the different light. Friends, it variegates like the colors of the rainbow. The effect must surely have been gorgeous. This rich and resplendent embroidery of golden angels. Friends, on that colored royal linen or silk. It was to represent, we are told, the angelic host who are connected with the work of the heavenly sanctuary. You know, I've seen two angels in my experience. I saw one of God's angels, and I saw one of the other kind. I prefer God's. And it says they are ministering spirits to the people of God right here on terra firma. Friends, they're there for us every minute of the day. The royal colors of blue, purple, and scarlet are emblems, friends, not just of the character of heavenly beings, but they symbolize the qualities of truth and sacrifice which will shape the character of all who become members of the family above. That is why we come to church, isn't it? So that we can become more like our Father in heaven, more like our Savior, Jesus. You know, Paul explains it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He said, I want to know who? Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him. Beautiful. Now, friends, it is possible to know all of these things that we have been looking at here outwardly and mentally. Friends, we can know about the Lord's Supper and kind of what it symbolizes, but do we know by experience the Christ that it portrays? You know, outward knowledge is good. They say knowledge is power. But friends, it's not enough. It's not enough. Unless it leads us into a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at a verse here today. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. The gospel prophet Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 5. Now, friends, this is a verse that must grip your heart if you ever hope to be a Christian. It must move you from a head knowledge to a real trust in Jesus Christ. Friends, he is the one who died on the cross to pay for all of your sins and my sins. Let's examine this verse for a few moments. But first, let's look at verse 4. Back up to verse 4 before verse 5. It says, surely he hath what? Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, friends, the first word, but, shows the contrast between the false idea described at the end of verse 4, that Christ died as a result of what? That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees, oh, he's smitten of God. Yeah, he's dying for his own infractions. What a folly thought that is. Friends, the true fact is that he died to pay for our sins. The pronoun he in verse 5 is placed first to show that in contrast to those who really deserve the punishment. Friends, he bore the sins of the guilty. Can you raise your hand? I'm guilty. The verse continues, but he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, the word wounded here is very important. Young's analytical concordance to the Bible tells us the Hebrew word here means pierced through. Pierced through. And there accompanies this thought, usually, that of a piercing through even unto death. You know, the word also appears in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Friends, this is an obvious prophecy of Christ. His scalp was pierced, probably all the way to the skull plate, by those cruel thorns. His hands and his feet were pierced with those rough Roman nails on the cross. His side was pierced with a Roman spear. As the Apostle John tells us, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. that the scripture should be fulfilled, which saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And then the text says, he was bruised for our iniquities. Friends, the Hebrew word for bruised means crushed. The crushing and bruising of Christ began in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friends, the night before he was even crucified, when Jesus, the Bible says, was in an agony, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Friends, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ was being crushed under the weight of our sin. The olive, the precious olive, was in the press, and the press was pressing him. Friends, it was placed on him there. A few hours later, Christ was bruised and crushed by the beatings and scourgings he received directly before he was nailed to the cross, and then pierced with a Roman spear. But friends, the deeper meaning of the crushing is that it speaks of the incredible load of Jesus taking all of my sins, all of your sins being placed on him. The Apostle Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I like Dr. Isaac Watts. Any of you know Dr. Watts? He's in our hymnal. He makes it clear in that famous hymn, alas, and did my Savior bleed? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. You know, the very next clause in our verse here in Isaiah 53:5 is, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, according to Young's analytical concordance, the word chastisement means punishment. So the chastisement or punishment that fell upon Christ was for the purpose of, and here's that word, we've all heard it, but what does it mean? Propitiation. Gill's commentary says this, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That is, the punishment of our sins was inflicted on him, whereby our peace and reconciliation with God was made by him, whereby divine wrath is appeased, justice is satisfied, and peace is made. Friends, I wish the whole world could understand this. ISIS wouldn't have to kill the Turks, and the rest of the groups wouldn't have to kill whoever. We could all just be in peace. The Apostle Paul, Romans 3:24-25, Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You know, we sing the words of the hymn by Albert Midlane. No tongue can tell the wrath he bore, the wrath so due to me. Sin's just desert, he bore it all to set the sinner free. Friends, have you experienced that freedom? Jesus wants to set you free. You can be free indeed if you know him. Let him be your propitiation today. Christ was chastised, punished in our place, thus appeasing the justice of God's wrath against your sin and my sin. And that brings us to the final clause here in our verse, Isaiah 53:5. It says, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. How many want to be healed? Now, friends, according to Strong's Concordance, the word for stripes in Hebrew means wounds. The Apostle Peter quotes this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He says, what? With his stripes. He just repeats it. We are healed. The Greek word used by Peter is translated stripes. It means strong blows, blow marks. Friends, I believe it refers mainly to the scourging of Jesus. I am convinced that these words are a particular reference to Christ's flogging done by the Roman soldiers at the command of the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, shortly before Christ was crucified. The Bible says, John 19:1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, it tells us concerning scourging. Under the Roman method of scourging, the person was stripped naked, tied in a bending posture to a pillar. In other words, you couldn't stand up straight. You couldn't get all the way down. You had to be bent in the most uncomfortable position possible. The scourge, the whip, was made of leather thongs, weighted with sharp pieces of bone or lead, which tore the flesh of both the back and the chest. Eusebius, in his Chronicles, records having witnessed the suffering of martyrs who actually died just under the scourging. The word scourging was also used by Jesus himself in his prophecy concerning his coming suffering when he said, Matthew 20:18-19, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." Wow. And friends, the remnant church has an eyewitness account. Let me read it. She saw it. The spotless Son of God hung upon the cross of Calvary, his flesh lacerated with stripes, those hands so often reached out in blessing, nailed to the wooden bars, those feet so tireless on ministries of love, spiked to the tree, that royal head pierced by the crown of thorns, those quivering lips shaped to the cry of woe, and all that he endured, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, the agony that racked his frame, and the unutterable anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of his Father's face speaks to each child of humanity. Friends, he's speaking to us here today, declaring that it is for thee that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. For thee he spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise. Praise God. He who stilled the angry waves and walked the foam-capped billows, who made devils tremble and disease flee, who opened blind eyes and called forth the dead to life, offers himself upon the cross as a sacrifice from his love for thee. But friends, knowing all this will not save us unless you ask him into your heart by faith. Are you willing to do it today? Why don't we all do it right now? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. the chastisement of our peace is upon you. And with your stripes, we are healed. Lord Jesus, we bow with tears in our eyes, Lord, as we think about you, all that you endured. Lord, thank you. We love you. We want to serve you. We want to give you all that we are. Take us, sin and all, Lord Jesus. Clean us up. Make us whiter than snow. Let us be your children to serve you with a full and a complete heart. Lord, we love you now. We thank you for your cleansing blood. We thank you that you will set us in the right path. Bless us, Lord, to be your representatives and your witnesses to a world in darkness. Lord, help us to share that they can have peace too. They can have all these things if they will accept you. Bless us, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' powerful saving name. Amen.
Sermon number 8057.
Jesus, Father of my soul, let me to